This is RSV and the Update, episode 539, recorded Thursday, October 15th, 2015. The Gobies in the Forest. Hello, everyone, and thank you for joining us for RSBNB Update. Joining Earth and myself this week is a guy by the name of Art of Dvorak, in-game, otherwise known as Andrew.
Hi.
He's one of Reed's very close friends.
Very.
I also live with him.
Very yeah, he close. Was the one who actually made the cameo on stream during the Vampire Quest.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. So, anyway, speaking of quests, that's what we got this week. Call of the Ancestors.
Oh, boy.
I wanted to call this Call of the Ancients for some reason.
Me too.
Like,
what is that?
What is Call of the Ancients?
There's Defense of the Ancients. Defense of the Ancients is Dota.
It's something in Diablo.
Hmm. Well, I mean,
I don't know. All of the Ancestors just seems like a shitty name.
Yeah, and I mean, there's lots of stuff in these various MMOs that, you know, play names off each other and whatnot, so that could be called the Ancients.
There's nothing new under the sun, as it were, yes.
Yeah. So, anyways, this is the first bottle quest that's ever been added to the RS world. It's a novice quest, fairly short. How long did it take you guys to do?
1 second. Let me see. Let's see. Not literally.
It took him
one second
to do. It took me about 30 minutes. Give or take.
Well, my recording is 39 minutes, so it probably took me about 35.
All right. Yeah. I want to say that's the amount of time it would have taken me as well, but I had to do something in the middle of it that was rather important, but anyways. So, this quest, you start by talking to Tunks on Tuska's back, which you can get to by talking to any of the astromancers around the world, or, you know, just making your way through the desert if you want. So, who wants to give the quest summary here?
Did Reed anything does. Happen?
Well,
like...
Yeah.
Not much of a story progression, really.
Like, you just sort of went there. Like, I know you can describe every quest by you went there and you did stuff, but...
You kind of did. Like, that's kind of what happened.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You went there and you did stuff.
And
there
see,
were
the, I think
a few
the thing,
puzzles, and yeah. then it just abruptly ended.
At a weird point.
Yeah.
And quest complete with that.
Like,
but.
Did that surprise you at the end that it was over?
Yeah, I thought there was going to be... I thought that was, like, maybe, like, the halfway point.
Yeah.
I was expecting shorter, to be honest.
Interesting.
Because, I mean, novice quest, right? So it's not, like...
I think 40 minutes is about right for a novice quest.
Yeah, yeah. But there were much shorter quests, too, like the Fears of Guthix and whatnot, so...
Wait, Fears of Guthix?
Well, Tears of Guthix. But, you know, we can call it the Fears of Guthix, too, right?
I guess.
Yeah. Anyways, so you basically go to this mass
Okay, camp. Was I the only one who had a hard time figuring out how the hell to get to this place?
I had to look up how to get to the place.
Okay. Well,
I didn't have the same trouble you did, Reed. I watched your stream, and I did not have that trouble. I didn't think I had to jump into the water.
Okay.
No, I knew that wasn't right, but I was being told to go south, and that was the only thing south that I could click on. So it's like, right. This isn't right.
So where did you end up going?
Yeah, you were told to go north, and you were supposed to go south.
Oh, okay. Yeah, share that.
So did you go through Tuska's back, or did you take an astromancer?
I took an Astromancer.
Oh, okay. So...
What? Is there another option?
Yeah, you can take an Astromancer and teleport immediately to Tuska's
That's what
back.
I did. Is there another option?
Yeah, you can run through the desert and jump and swim.
You can swim?
Oh, right. I remember that when it happened.
I didn't know that.
Like, the week it came out, I was like, all right, let's just jump into the ocean and swim over there. What's the worst that could happen, right?
Bitten by a shark? Anyway.
So
you got there. That's the
Yes,
story.
I got there eventually.
Then after that, you basically go to the eastern village on Mazcab and talk to the various gobies there, specifically Tunks, and he'll say that, well, the Eru are invading despite, you know, the raid boss's best efforts, or the raiders' best efforts to keep them at bay, and the village is, you know, facing the possibility of being wiped out. I don't know why I had such a problem putting that sentence together. So after that, what is it we normally do in quests?
You do shit.
We train up and comers to do the dirty work for us, I guess. And that is what this quest ultimately comes up to being about, and that is training three gobies to fight the Eru.
It's the trivia says the quest was incorrectly stated to be named Call of the Ancients in a stream. Okay, so that's where that came from.
Oh, okay.
To go back to that. Sorry. I just saw that.
Right. And I watched that stream when they first talked about it, so that's where that came from. Okay. Excellent.
All right.
Well, that problem's solved. Good. Good. So anyways, we also have to go in after that to talk with Tunks, Pex, and Lunch. And, well, we first help them gather wood to bring them into the village to, well, whatever you use wood for, repair buildings, start fires, that kind of thing.
Why can't we just cut down a goddamn tree?
Yeah, I was thinking that too. But anyways, so you help them get wood, and then after that, you basically get a brief little tutorial of the mechanics of this quest. And that's where this quest gets interesting for me, because I don't think we've ever had a mechanic like this before where you direct control NPCs.
Mm-hmm.
So, you basically click on them and
you have controlled NPCs before, but not to this extent.
Exactly. And, you know, the three gobies each have a specialty. Lunch has a big head, so he's able to headbutt walls and open them up if there's cracks in them. I believe it is... who is it? Is it Tunks that is the agile one?
Agile.
There's right. one that's agile, and then there's one that's small, but I don't remember their names.
Yeah, neither do I, unfortunately.
It's like a 2-foot gap. Like, come on.
Hey, the other...
Anyone can jump that.
Yeah, but they don't have agility like us.
That was my problem. One of my problems with this quest.
All right.
I guess they were midgets or something. Yeah. So.
Peck is the one who is small. Lunch is the one that headbutts the wall, as I said. And, well, Tunks is just the agile one. So that's where that goes from there.
The agile one.
Yeah.
Only distinguishing characteristic.
Yeah, because, well...
I think the small one has it bad. Like, you're just small.
Yeah, well, like, he literally couldn't do anything but be tiny and push buttons.
Well, there's reasons for being tiny. Like, if you need to go through a window or something, it's often better to have a small person, right?
How often do you need to go through a window? Like, once in ever.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. Once we locked the keys in the house and we sent Mike in through the basement window to unlock
it. I love how Mike
when I wanted to go work out.
That's okay.
What was that, Andrew?
I had to go through a window once when I wanted to leave my room.
Really? Why was that?
We wanted Andrew to go to dinner with us, but he wouldn't. He's like, no, I gotta go work out.
And then 45 minutes later, it was still going on, so I just left through the window.
What was still going on?
Me bothering him?
Oh.
I can be very persistent.
I thought that was my job.
What, to be irritating?
And persistent.
Is it?
Yeah, you've tasked me with that for numerous people before.
Tasked you with that?
It's your quest, Shane.
Yeah, but anyway, so we learn how to control the gobies, get a brief little tutorial on their mechanics and whatnot, and then, well, we head westward to somewhere, and I don't know if you want me to say this. We head westward to the Nemi
Forest. Just do it. Get it over with.
I said the E. We head westward to the Nemi Forest.
Wait, why is that funny?
I say the
forest.
You're exaggerating it. I said forest.
He doesn't say forest. He goes forced.
Oh.
But anyways, once you get there, you're given the option. Do you want to go explore the Nemi Forest like normal, or do you want to use it for Call of the Ancestors? And you choose the Call of the Ancestors option, and you get an instance version of the Nemi Forest. See, I said the E. I said the E.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
I still don't see what's so funny.
It's he thinks I should be saying it funny. Forest.
I don't understand the difference between.
And I'm saying forest.
It says forced. Like forced.
Oh, okay. I can see why you think that's funny now.
Anyways, so once inside the Nemi Forest, you discover an ancient Gobi, and you talk to this ancient Gobi, and he will have a set of trials.
It was really weird to me.
Yeah, it was. Because, I mean, you have this thing in there, and if you've explored the forest before, you would expect to have seen it, right? It just appears. Or was it weird in another way to you?
It was weird that they'd kind of just shoehorn some puzzles in.
Yeah, we'll get there.
Yeah, he also looked like a giant so...
It was a turtle. How is it? What?
No, not that. The old thing. The first old thing.
He was phallic.
No. I don't see how you guys can see that. I got a picture on the screen right now. I mean,
I'm pretty sure
of a.
It's a chalice.
Sorry.
You kind of definitely walked into that, Shane.
I still don't see it, but anyways.
You still don't? Okay.
I thought you had a picture of it up.
Yeah, I do, but I don't see the reference you're mentioning. But. I don't know. I'm not going to go into other past comments on that subject matter because that's not appropriate for this podcast, but... Anyway, so, yes, you talk to the ancient Gobi, and he has a set of trials for the young Gobis, and this is where the puzzles come in. And now, you feel these were shoehorned in, Andrew?
Yeah, I did like the puzzles themselves, but, I mean, you just kind of go in there and you find out that this guy is dying, I guess you can say, and then he's just like, oh, by the way, do these puzzles for some magic powers.
Yeah, well, I mean, you can't just...
Yeah, like, I didn't even get the point of that. And, like, I feel like the referent, like, when they painted themselves up, Andrew missed the screenshot of my what the face, but...
It was a what the face. A very what the face.
Well, I'm sure we can go back on the stream and get it, but okay.
I couldn't rewind for some reason.
Well, you can rewind after, but we'll talk. I'll handle that. So you didn't basically. So you're saying you basically didn't get the whole point of this stage to.
No, he didn't get the point of them painting themselves.
Yeah, like they looked
like there was no reason for them to be.
I missed
there.
That entirely.
Like it was a reference to something.
I missed that entirely. Like did
it was,
like,
it was the bit where they were like, "Close your eyes." And you're like,
okay.
Okay.
And it was a small cut scene, and then they were like, "Yeah, let's go."
So basically, they painted themselves with war paint. Is what you're saying?
Kind yeah.
Of. You know, I missed that part in the quest, but looking at it now, I want to say that makes sense because tribal cultures have been war painting themselves for centuries. So why wouldn't these guys?
Why wouldn't they? Because
they.
Why would they?
They said that they said they needed to look the part.
Yes.
It says, after another short cut scene, the trio reveals their change of appearance, and then you head inside.
But
their change in appearance was paint.
When you were a child, trying to figure yourself out and, you know, figure out how the world worked, didn't you like to dress up and act the part even if you weren't exactly acting the part out as you actually did?
I think we're reading a little too far into that.
No, that's exactly what this is saying. It's like if you dress up as a firefighter on Halloween, you're doing that. You're wanting to act the part, but you're not actually doing that.
What
the f***? It just helps, is all I'm saying.
Okay.
All right.
Yeah. We'll give it to you.
Okay, thank you. You can have that one, I guess.
So, now the puzzles. Did you guys find these difficult at all?
No.
No.
Same here. And I mean,
it was a cool dynamic, though, but no, they
yeah,
weren't.
I enjoyed them.
Yeah. And, I mean, I really liked the third one the most. I think that one was the most involved and, you know, illustrates what a puzzle can be in RS that isn't exactly a puzzle that you
that was the
find.
Easiest one, though.
Really?
Well, maybe not from the first one, but the second one was the harder one.
Okay, the second one was the hardest one. Yes, I will give you that.
I like that one the best. I like the harder ones the best.
Yeah, because you have to use the agility and whatnot. And for anyone who didn't catch it, but that's where the three strengths of the Gobies come in that we mentioned at the beginning of the quest. Lunch, use him to stand on the heavy blocks. Tunks is the agile one. And Peak is the one who is, what's his power again? I'm sorry.
He's small.
Small.
Tiny one.
Yes, tiny.
Thank that's you. His power, being small.
Yeah, well,
a
I mean,
power.
Well, some people have to be small and others, I mean, it just creates a balance, right? So. All right, so you basically work through these puzzles, and then after that you gain a little bit of extra magic power each time, three of them in total. Then after that, well, I guess I should ask anybody... Want to discuss the puzzles any further? Or are we happy with saying they were simple enough?
I mean, they're pretty simple puzzles.
Okay. All I want to say about them then is that if I was introducing someone to questing on RS, this is actually a quest I would have them play first after the Ashdale quest.
What's the Ashdale quest?
It was a quest that came out last year. When the new tutorial place of Ashdale was added, and it relied
on
environment effects to guide the way. So,
right.
All right. And then after that, you have to basically fight the incoming invasion. Now, apparently this was harder when it first came out, and they made it easier because...
They should have kept it harder, because when I played it, it was stupid.
Yeah. I mean, once you figure out that you can click and then target in the path of where they're coming, you can just basically...
I just spam-clicked and everything died. Once
you spam-click the spawn and it's just done.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's pretty much the way you do it, because the spell doesn't fire immediately. It fires with a couple seconds of delay, and you can queue them up. So if you click five times in a various area, you'll get five spells bombarding the area... that you click.
How was it harder before?
The arrows and whatnot move faster, and the spell timing was changed.
Could you lose?
Yes.
Yeah, you can lose.
Oh, really?
It even saves your progress, though. like among the waves.
Interesting.
Yeah. I mean, I just did one of them and I let them overrun me to see what happens. And when one of the gobies dies, you just start over from your last saved wave. So. But the change they made was that they decreased the spawn rate. They gave the gobies more health. And yeah, that's it. So that's how they made it easier. Though, I mean, I didn't play it before the little hotfix, but that's just our opinion from being relatively seasoned adventurers. So,
if you can use a computer, it's easy.
Yeah, and like I said, if I was introducing someone to RS and I wanted to show them questing, this quest would be at the top of the list for me.
Okay, I can give that to you.
Because, I mean, it tells you how a quest works, and it gives you a bit of a idea of how a boss fight can work.
It does. But
wait,
well,
what?
No. Well, I mean, boss fight in the sense of someone else doing it for you, and that, well, in future quests, you might have to do this yourself.
I didn't get that at all.
Oh, no. Okay. Another thing I took from this quest was that the mechanics of controlling the gobies, that's interesting, and we could potentially apply that to higher level quests in the future. So
yeah, I was hoping that would go into the quests following this one.
Yeah, and I mean, that's got to be the number one thing that I'm taking away from this quest, is it's a new mechanic, which is always good for Jagex.
They need to build on it.
Like, you remember Earth, the back on the Ashdale quest, you did not get the fact that there was a puzzle in there and that the environment helped you, right?
Yeah.
So that's the same kind of thing I'm pointing at here, is that, okay, well, we have a quest, it's deceptively simple, but we need to take away that this mechanic is something good that can be used going forward. So that's my take on the quest. Anything else before we give it a rating?
I got nothing.
All right.
Andrew, there's not much to talk about.
It was a novice quest.
Yeah, it was just...
It just happened. Simple.
Let's see what happens now.
Yeah, I mean, one quest point, 1K magic XP, some Gobi war paint overrides. So if you want to look like one of those warriors, you can.
No, that's okay.
Also, Mazgab weapon overrides, if that's your cup of tea.
Again, no.
I didn't try.
Okay.
All right. And then something for higher level players, raid reroll tokens, which basically allows you to reroll your raid XP. And, well, what this does is it gives you a chance of getting better rewards at the end of the day. So.
And then you get the teleport override.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Well, I got one.
That wasn't listed.
Is that from a different quest? I have a teleport override.
Yeah, it could be from a different quest, because I don't think that's the one here. What teleport are you using, then?
Let me log on and tell you the name of it.
All right, while we're doing that, ratings out of 5 for this?
3.
Andrew?
Shane, you can go.
Okay. I'll go with 3 as well. I mean, there wasn't anything bad about it. It didn't break any molds, but the main thing I'm happy about is the new mechanics. So,
mm-hmm.
3 for me as well.
I guess coming from I'm going to go ahead and give it a 4 because there was nothing really bad about it, and it can definitely be built upon in a really good way. But there's nothing really awesome about it, so I can't really give it a 5. But there wasn't anything wrong with it, so I'd have
to
give it a 4.
True.
And I should mention to the listeners, the reason you're on the show is, compared to us, you're a relatively newer player. So
you could say that.
What was your opinions on this, as, you know, not having done all the quests, not having, you know, killed Nomad and fought through the fifth age and sixth age, so.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Do you want to see more like this? You think it's a good way to introduce newer players like yourself?
Yeah. Well, I've gotten a good bit of quests under my belt, I guess, but. Yeah, I can see this as a good quest to start out on. And that teleport is called Guthixon War Teleport.
Yeah, that's not from this. Sorry.
Oh, I wonder where that came from. Because it just kind of appeared.
I don't know. I have no idea. All right. Well, that's Call of the Ancestors. Hopefully we'll see more on Mazcab in the future. Would you guys like to go back for another quest?
Oh.
I mean, I guess we kind of have to, right?
Yeah, yeah. So, okay. Well, on to some tweaks and fixes then for this week. Familiar timers will no longer pause when hidden inside the Grand Exchange to prevent the use of permanent beasts of burden. So, yeah. The idea was is that you could open a beast of burden, go sit at the GE, teleport back to the GE, and then, like, if you were runecrafting or something, each time you were out of the GE, it would only be taking down. But if you were there, it would be paused, so that would make it last much longer than the 56 minutes that the Yak lasts for.
Hmm.
Mm-hmm. Also, all beasts of burdens now have a greatly increased life point total. Which is good, because if anyone's noticed, if you're doing any kind of serious PVM, your Beast of Burden is the first thing to die. So, yeah. Staff and battle staff buy limits have been increased to 1,000 every 4 hours.
Yes. Yay!
Yeah, 100 before, right?
Yes.
And they needed to do this, because in having the limit, it was severely limiting an option for crafting, I think.
I mean, yes.
100, it's like, well, okay, I'm done with that in 15 minutes. So, and of course, 15. The other option. Yeah?
It takes like 5.
Oh, okay. And of course, the other option was to, you know, just have your friends buy them for you bypassing the GE, but that's kind of cumbersome to do. So, definitely good that they did this. Box traps and bird snares now have a left-click reset option to set the trap back up without having to put it in your inventory first.
Wait, left-click?
Oh, yay!
I know.
Wait, is it left-click?
Yeah.
Or right-click?
Oh, my God. Yay! Oh.
What is that? Okay.
That's really good.
Because, basically, if you had a creature come and it would, like, If the hunt, for example, would fail, like let's say it tried to go in but it escaped your trap would be destroyed and you would need to pick it up, put it in your inventory, and put it back down. Whereas now it's just one click.
Okay.
Yeah. So that'll help with Hunter, I think. That was definitely one of the things of Hunter that made it painful to do. Anyways, you guys have anything else in the patchy patch notes?
Patchy patch. No. All I don't right. have anything.
Andrew?
Oh, nope. Wait, no. The player-owned house options interface now has a call butler button. That's cool.
Mm. Okay. That's good, I guess. I mean, that totally defeats the purpose of the little bell that you can build in the dining room, right?
I guess.
Ding. All right. Well,
that was beautiful, Shane.
But I mean, calling a butler with your voice kind of defeats the purpose of making a bell.
Yeah, mm-hmm. That's true. But of course, you can't hear your character, so no more. Ding.
Mm-hmm. I thought they added in sounds for your character.
No. That's one of the things that doesn't have sound. So
wait, what? No, there was something that they added sounds for NPCs in, because, like, during combat.
Oh, right? Yeah. Right. Yes, for NPCs, yes.
Okay, because they were interesting noises.
Oh, definitely. Every time you kill a Guthix or Zamorak warrior.
Wait, is that the noise?
Yes.
Oh my god.
Yeah, except a little bit lower than he did it, but in general, yes.
It's pretty bad.
All right. There was also a developer Q&A this week focusing on quests. I got a couple of interesting tidbits to share with you guys if you haven't watched it. These are just things that jumped out at me. Here's what they're looking at for potential bottle quests. The Desert, Signature Heroes, Penguins, and Mr. Mardot.
Ooh, Penguins.
Yeah. I mean, does it make sense for the Desert
goddamn time
and Penguins to be bottle quests? Like, wouldn't we like those to have the full attention of a regular
quest? Like them. Wait, what? They're making... No. Do a bottle quest for the Penguins or the Desert.
Explain me bottle quests.
That's what we just did here. It's a quest that uses existing assets in-game. So
there's literally nothing else to do with anything in the game.
Yeah.
Basically.
Okay, wait. What's Shane's explanation?
Are you familiar with the concept of a bottle TV episode?
No.
Okay. Basically what that is, in RuneScape terms, is that you have a quest, and they want to get more quests in-game. So what they've decided to do for 2016 and this first MazCab quest was create a quest that used existing assets to fast-track development time. So these quests are going to be shorter, have less impact on overall lore in-game, and just be designed to look at aspects that have not been looked at for quite some time in RS. Namely, in this case, the Desert, Signature Heroes, Penguins, and Mr. Mardot.
Oh, okay.
So, and, you know, I thought you'd feel that same way there, Reed, about the Desert and the Penguins being bottle quests, because I think those two storylines... Yeah, because I think those two storylines have merit on their own right and deserve to see proper endings, especially the Desert one, right?
And the Penguins.
Oh, I thought both we of them. The Penguins. Okay.
Are we? I literally don't remember.
Yeah, I don't remember either for the Penguins, but I know we're definitely not finished with the Desert. So
it's been so long.
Yep. So. Yeah, I feel the same way. But Mr. Mardot? I mean, who wants a quest about him?
I don't know.
Anyways, the pirate finale is planned, but they have no ETA. So it's mapped out. The Soul Altar is not planned to come out with Nomad's Elegy, but it could come out with any quest series, potentially, so they want ideas on that. Which I found interesting. So... maybe we need to get behind it on Rune Labs and demand the Soul Altar have a quest. And in response to winding down the Sixth Age, no, it's just begun. The Seventh Age is not being considered yet, and before they would do that, they need to start planting the seeds for the Seventh Age, so to speak. Which, as an example, planting Sixth Age seeds was like while Guthix sleeps and Ritual of
Mars. Wait, so like they're planning on doing a Seventh Age?
No, not yet, not at all, no.
Okay, good.
Not at all. Sixth Age has just begun, and they want to explore that further. So, yeah, that was this week's developer Q&A quest. That's what I found interesting, and I thought the bullet points we could share with you guys here. But, of course, if you want to find the full stream of this, there will be a link in the show notes at update.rsbnb.com.
Nice plug.
Indeed. All right. Anything RS related before we move on to the questions?
I got nothing.
All right. Well, our first question is an audio question from the RR man. And Reed, I think you should buckle up. I think you're going to laugh.
We already listened to it.
Shh. They're not supposed to know that.
Hey, the RR man here. Just a couple of quick questions for you. Earth, last week you had a bit of a angry splurt out on NVIDIA graphics cards, I think is what it was. I just wondered what your problem with them was. Is it just because you're a fanboy and have an AMD card? Because from my understanding, the differences are really minute. It's not like, you know, Apple and PC where, you know, we won't get into that again. But what's your problem with like sort of NVIDIA cards? Because I've had one for years, works fine, does everything I need it to, you know. And sorry to make this just an episode full of confusion. But moving on to Shane, you were talking about something last week, and I couldn't quite figure out what it was. I did a bit of research, couldn't figure it out. Sounded kind of interesting. But what's an Iron Man? Yeah, Iron Man. Never heard of that before. So if you could clear that for me, it'd be fantastic. Well, I'm going to go out and have a walk now in the local forest, and peace out, guys.
Wait, so Shane, if we didn't listen to it before, how did you know it was funny?
You have just pointed out a temporal paradox.
Shane... You can't do that.
There's that voice again that everyone can so imitate around here.
Is your whole family doing it now?
Well, my parents, yes. Anyways, that's aside the point. Explain. Why do you prefer AMD over?
I think you should explain why NVIDIA sucks, Shane. Or... with all the issues you've been having.
Or NVIDIA, as the RR man called it. I have to point that one out.
I didn't hear that.
Oh, okay. I will tell you why I am having troubles with NVIDIA now if you tell people why you like AMD.
Can I start?
Yeah, sure. Go ahead.
I'll go ahead and start. I started out with an NVIDIA card, a GTX 660. I liked it for the most part. It was very good for the price at that time. One problem I did have with it, the first problem I had with it was that the fan on it would not automatically get set to auto. So when I first turned the PC on, it would be at 50% and it would not change. So I'd be in game and my computer would crash because it would get too hot and I didn't even know it until I found out I had to start my computer up and hit, I don't know, whatever the setting was to auto...
Adjust the speed.
I don't know. I forget the actual wording of it. But I could not find an option, and I never did find an option to make it do that every time I started up until the next driver update, and that really pissed me off. I've always had troubles with their drivers. And all right. Ever since getting my 270, I haven't had problems with the drivers at all.
And Reed?
You next, Shane.
Okay. Well, I've been an NVIDIA user going way, way back to, you know, the days of the GT 240.
Horse and carriage?
The what? Yeah, horse and carriage. Yeah. Like, way back when, like, the year 2000, I've been an NVIDIA user. And I've had a couple of AMD cards along the way, and, I mean... The performance of them was okay, probably though because it was before I did all the research that I do now into hardware. But I did have another relatively good AMD card at one point that was just horrible out of the box. So I returned and got NVIDIA, and been doing that ever since. But starting in 2014, I did have some problems with my EVGA 670 card. I sent it back. I got back. It didn't work. Did the same thing. Sent it back again. Didn't work. Sent it back again. Got one that worked. Yay! But you know what the problem with this one was? The DVI ports didn't work. Nor did the HDMI. It has DisplayPort. That works.
But it doesn't work.
DisplayPort works, and that's the one port that works on my card right now, and you know,
I did keep it because
I was sick and tired of dealing with it because it was 2 weeks to send it back each time because I'm in Canada. If I was in the U.S., it would have been quicker.
Maybe you should move.
You know, America is just a great nation.
Greatest nation on this planet.
I agree.
God bless America.
I agree, and we might be talking about that next week, but we'll hope for the best. But anyways, moving forward with that, I think I will go AMD next time because I am having problems with this card again. The display driver quits working randomly in Windows, and I mean, I have to unplug the monitor and plug it back in to get 1080p when my computer starts up, so it's a pain. So
are you thinking about this generation or the next?
I think I'm going to stretch it to next generation if I can.
Okay.
Yeah. Because there's nothing wrong with this card. It still works and, you know, does adequate frame rates. And, you know, another problem I've had with 60 FPS, right? But another problem I've had with this card is it is very loud, and I think it's got a coil whine issue. So, yeah.
It is a coil whine issue or is not?
Well, I think it's coil whine. Not 100% sure. My ears aren't.
It's a high.
My ears aren't as good as some of us here, so yeah.
Mm.
Yeah, all so right. That's my stance on AMD versus NVIDIA today.
I actually have zero things against NVIDIA. I just prefer AMD because of the company Sapphire. They don't make NVIDIA cards. They only make AMD cards. And they have some of the best customer service that I've ever encountered. Card was like 6 months out of warranty and is having a coil line issue. I opened a ticket and they're like, sure, send it in, we'll fix it. Yeah, that's
okay. And
pretty
I mean,
much should... it. It's not nearly as extreme as graphic or processors because
yeah,
AMD processors suck.
I would argue that if you want any shred of performance, you go Intel. The only reason you should go AMD is if you're on a budget.
And mentally.
A very big budget. Small, really.
Yeah. And, I mean, you're totally right on going based on customer service. Customer service is something that I think in the 21st century is going to be a defining feature of which products people choose to use and whatnot. And that's partially also why I like
Apple.
As it
should be.
Yeah. Yes. And, yeah, and, oh, another reason I went NVIDIA back in the dark ages was Linux support, because in 2003 to probably 2008, maybe 2009, AMD cards did not play that well with Linux. Which isn't really much of an issue anymore, but, yeah. All right. And, that's just the dialect we use here in terms of the way we speak. I listened to the news the other day, and someone actually on the news also said iron. They also said
Oregon. People on the news also say harassment and details.
And they're also wrong.
Yes.
But that's just the way people speak up here, right?
And well, it ain't right.
Well, I mean, like, if Brad was on the show, he'd be saying tomato all the time,
but
right?
Brad is sexy. Have you heard his voice? Tell me I'm wrong.
You're not wrong.
I know.
Shane just called a man sexy. That's great.
But
so you heard it here first, boys and girls, on RSBNB.
Update. Thank you.
Come join us on Tuesdays.
Come join us Tuesdays at the RSB&B group of game service.
Shane
for PC gaming.
If you want to get that joke, then come to PC gaming
on Tuesdays at
10 p.m. Eastern.
Right on then.
Right on.
But yeah, I mean, Iron Man, Oregon, Forest. So it's just the way we say things, just like you said, NVIDIA. So there you go.
It's NVIDIA. Yeah.
Yes.
It is NVIDIA, because I say NVIDIA.
Anyways, all right. What do you two want to take the questions here from Titus? Read them.
Oh, can I read them?
Please do.
Not sure if my questions have been asked before in the podcast, probably. So feel free to ignore any of the questions you might find irrelevant. Question one. What do you think are the most important quests for an Iron Man account, based on XP, item, / daily rewards, maybe? Question two. Same, but for achievement diaries, which task sets do you think are the most important ones? Question three. When they release the NXT client, do you think the minimum system requirements will increase considerably, or do you think it'll likely stay the same? I'm using an Asus T100 tablet to play RS sometimes, and I don't know if it'll work because it only has 2 GB of RAM.
All right. Well, there's an important distinction to be made between Iron Man and non-Iron Man, and that is that sometimes they don't get the full rewards that the rest of us do. And I don't have an Iron Man account right now, so I can't comment on quest reward.
Wait, right
parody.
Now?
Oops, yes, I did say that. Anyways.
The plot thickens.
Yes. But I would say focus on the achievement diaries directly. And my two most important achievement diary items are the Ardoian Cloak 4, not only for thieving, but also for my herb runs to the Ardoian patch, because it teleports you right there. And the other one, just for, you know, general getting around, the Karamja set for the Shiloh Village gloves. You clap your hands, and the world changes. And you appear in Shiloh Village. So I would say focus on those. But quest-wise, you know, just unlock all your teleports and whatnot going forward.
Do them all.
Yeah. Do all the quests that you can. And I want to say questing greatly improves your RS experience, not only from an immersion point of view, but just from all the little rewards you pick up along the way. So we are big fans of questers here. And that's what our clan is actually focused about, clan quests. So if you do find questing enjoyable, you can contact either of us and we'll hook you up with the right places to go to apply and get an invite.
Nice plug.
Yeah, I just slipped them right in, but... Anyways.
It's a try.
Anyways, yeah, I can't really comment on Iron Man quests, unfortunately, but I did want to comment on the achievement diaries. So, any other recommendations, quest or achievement diary or reward set wise?
All of them.
Okay. Next one, achievement diaries. Oh yeah, okay, we handled that. We killed 2 birds with 1 stone. Right on there. Excellent.
Right on.
And NXT client, based on what they said at RuneFest, it will work if your current computer plays RS, and you'll get better performance than you do now, so I wouldn't worry. But of course, if you have a high-end system, you'll be able to max it out.
Old.
Yeah, and they said that's what they're focusing on, because that's what the HTML5 client in Chrome was not able to do, handle the low end of the spectrum.
Low end? That's some bullshit. It couldn't handle my computer.
That's true. Same here. And, I mean, we don't exactly have wimpy computers, you know?
No, at the time I had, like, T2 tier, what, 3 graphics card?
Yeah. So it was a big issue with that, but it'll be all good going forward, so I wouldn't worry. Asus T100 is the Transformer book series, believe it or not. That's an interesting name for a laptop. Just looking up the specs here right now. Internal, where is the CPU and whatnot? I want that. 1.3 gigahertz quad core. All right. So, thank you, Titus, for that question. I'll read the next one, and we'll let Earth take the last one here, since he loves talking to Colton. This one's from Adiron Cronon. In relation to Jade Gizmo's post about old accounts having their names deleted and so kind of removing memories from the game's earlier days, do you feel any melancholy when looking back at how the game was when you first started playing, the friends you made, and the things you did in the game now and realize how different it is and seeing how many of your old friends have left the game? Would you want it to stay the same, or are you happy with the way it has become?
There's more to that.
Oh, right. I can only think of the user Buzzpatch, who is the only player left in RS Classic who has never quit, never botted. All of his friends are gone, either quit or moved on to newer versions of the game, yet he chooses to stay in the game he loves to play. I think that's quite admirable. I do, too. I gotta say, it's all about the community and what you make of it. If you have friends in-game, definitely seek them out in real life, as we've done here, and we've created this, right? Because we're all friends here discussing RS.
And be careful if you do that, though.
Yes, the internet is a scary place.
That's a very good point. Thank you.
The bad man will get you.
Thank you for putting that out there. I forgot that disclaimer. But
disclaimer, don't do this.
They pay me the big bucks.
And, I mean, that's kind of the way I've dealt with it, too. People leaving and moving on past RS. Well, just, you know, strike up a normal friendship with them if you like chatting with them and that kind of thing. But game-wise, I'd like to think we've improved from where we've been. And that's, you know, my one big regret about old school is that didn't stay as the 2007 time capsule of RS. And it's instead become its own game. So that's kind of regrettable. But my memories going back are, of course, based on this podcast and all the screenshots and videos I've taken over the years. So that's how I compensate with that. And I think at the end of the day, you can't stop progress, and RS will always be the same. It's the same game, same general concept. And I'd like to invoke a quote here that is very telling in this case, and that is, the more things change, the more they stay the same.
All right, that's the show. Let's wrap up.
All right. How about you guys?
I mean, yes, but I'm happy where it is now.
Yeah. Progress is good. Mm-hmm. And I mean, you have quite a few friends that you've met from game in real life too. So.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just a natural progression, but as you said, be careful. How about you,
public
Andrew?
Public locations, y'all.
Yes, yes. You started many years ago and you came back last year, kind of.
I believe it was 2005, 2004 even, right around that area. I started playing because one of my friends told me to play, and I played with him a little bit, but it was very minimal because it wasn't my computer, and my mom was convinced that the Jagex files that were put in your documents for cache reasons, yeah, she thought they were viruses. So I didn't play very long, but I liked playing with my friends and stuff like that. But there's nothing really I miss because I didn't get too far into the game. And when I came back, you know, I came back when Dungeoneering was new. And, you know, nothing I got into really changed much, so.
Yep. RS is RS.
I mean, it's supposed to change.
Thing. Yes. Yep. Yep. All right. Yep. Thank you, Adiron Cronon, otherwise known as Touchpad Pro. Now, Earth, you can take this question.
Boy.
Okay. This question's from Colton. Hello, dear hosties. I hope you are all well. Questions for this week are as follows. What is the best kind of potato? What is your optimal water temperature for swimming? How long would you say the actual leaf color changing phase of autumn lasts in your respective locations? My fiance maintains that it's longer in Virginia than in Indiana, but I have a hard time believing her. And hypothetically, say this is coming from a person who has been sinking further and further into the quicksand that is Apple's ecosystem, starting all the way back with the first-gen iPod Shuffle. What steps would one theoretically take from this position to break free and eventually escape the grip of Apple? Note, this may or may not, it's not, be hypothetical. Love, Colton.
Colton's reading my mind this week, especially about number four. I was actually thinking about that. All right. Potatoes.
What?
Yeah, I was thinking about number four.
You're... What?
No, just read number one, and let's get started with some potatoes here.
Shit, I don't know.
Sweet potatoes, duh. They're the best potatoes there are out there. They taste good and they're great for you.
Good and good for you.
All right. If I had to choose a way to treat my potato, it would be a mashed potato with...
Mash it up,
boy.
Garlic mashed potatoes, actually.
Time to a tree and mash them up.
That's what I would go for, garlic mash. Those are always good.
What about the monster mash?
I have no idea what that is.
Philistine.
We could also say Coltator is the best potato.
Why, because Colton asked a question?
Indeed. There's a story behind that one.
Is there?
Yeah, there is.
Okay.
Yeah. All right. So you guys seem relatively indifferent on potatoes then. Should we move on to swimming?
Sure.
Yes. Well, I'll just say it. Being landlocked here, I never learned how to swim. There's never a need. But I don't think you want it to be really cold. I would say warm rather than cold. But that's what I got to say on this.
Reed.
I mean, warm.
37 degrees warm, or
Jesus, Shane.
Oh, I'm sorry. No. I mean Celsius, 37 Celsius.
I want Celsius? I don't want any of that shit in my water.
98 degrees.
I don't measure the temperature of the water before I get in a pool. I just get in a pool, and it's either really hot or really cold or good. Hot or cold. You know, the various degrees that there can be.
I would say the perfect temperature is when you first get in, it's cold, but you get used to it within, like, the first 10 seconds. But it has to be cold when you first get in. But it can't be cold you're sitting in there and you can't, like, move. That's for swimming, you know.
Yeah. That would not be good if you couldn't move. You would sink.
Drown.
Yes, that's right. All right. I guess swimming is a popular thing then. Yes, you guys go often?
Yes.
Not popular,
it's a thing that we do here.
All right.
In America, because we're free.
Mm-hmm. Greatest nation on this earth.
Leaf color changing phase. Now, does he mean how long it takes the leaves to change from green to yellow or whatever color?
I have no idea.
He means the season in which the leaves are like a warm color but haven't fallen completely off the tree yet.
Oh, okay.
I think it's...
My answer to that question is, shit, I don't know.
I'm sure it's different in different places.
Yeah, I don't measure things like that. So, but I want to say it's the middle of October right now, and the middle of September is when the leaves start changing, and they're pretty much all gone by now. So,
we haven't even seen them get red yet.
Yeah.
Like, they're getting there, but not yet.
New Canadians.
That is living up north, I suppose. So, yeah.
That's where you live, so yes.
Yeah, not
that
a month.
That is correct.
But the amount of time it takes them to change, I have no idea. I've never cataloged that kind of data before. But, all right. And now number four, the question that, well, lots of people have asked before to themselves. The correct answer is that you go to an Apple store and you ask them
okay, but for real?
You ask them for some help and counseling.
Counseling or canceling?
Counseling.
Counseling or canceling?
Counseling, but anyways.
Canceling. Got canceling. It.
Yeah, that's what I keep hearing.
Forced.
Reed, you've done this before. Give a practical answer.
Take your music, convert it to MP3s. You're good.
Can't you just get a different phone, learn that phone, and put all your music on that phone? There's a lot of Android devices out there that have SD cards, and I'm sure you can put all your music on a 64 gig SD card.
Yeah, that's what I did.
Yeah. So you don't need an iPod.
Convert the music to MP3, and then you're good.
You really don't even need an iPod anymore. People don't need iPods except for children who don't need a phone. Or if you really just really need a separate music device. I mean, nowadays you can put it on your phone. Well, in Apple's case, you can't because sometimes people can't afford $100 for an extra whatever 64 minus 16 is.
What's the minimum storage now, Shane?
16.
32.
It's 16.
Or 16, sorry. Yeah.
That is embarrassing.
Yeah, and then $100 more, you can get 64. $100.
I just like to point out the cloud.
$300?
Yeah.
Yeah, but, so Shane, how much data do you have?
2 gigs.
For a whole month?
Yeah.
Yeah, I got 2 gigs too. Or maybe I think I might be 3 gigs now. I can use Spotify every now and then, but I can't 3G it all the time. It'll run up my data.
Exactly. Having the cloud is useless if you have limited data.
Right.
Yeah, and that's really a bigger issue that we face in North America here that we'll tackle some other time. But in
SD
this
cards.
Question,
just tell Apple to make SD card slots.
It doesn't work.
No, that gets rid of their
profit margin.
Revenue.
Oh, you guys. Okay.
That's literally what happens.
They could.
You are right. You are right. The prices do go up when you ask for more storage. But I would also like to say that if you use iCloud at all, that's going to be a little bit more difficult because Reed, I don't think you used iCloud on your iOS devices before you switched.
Doesn't matter. Just take whatever's off iCloud.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like what? What?
He's saying having iCloud makes it harder for you to switch out of Apple.
That's
yes,
right.
But why?
Because there's no front-facing file system to iCloud unless you have a Mac.
No. What is on iCloud that I could possibly need?
Well, I mean, for me, my to-do lists are on iCloud. Pretty much
Fight the bullet, copy them over.
Okay. Pretty much every, game save or stat save or preference save like that is also there. So you're going to be starting fresh practically. So
if you have a new phone, the preferences don't matter.
When you get a new phone, it should start fresh. That's just a good feeling for me. I like starting fresh. Personally.
But the number one way to get out of iCloud if you're wanting to move from it is that you need to start the transition early and focus on things like Google Chrome rather than Safari on iOS.
Just do it.
Third-party solutions, LastPass rather than 1Password. Use iTunes to get any documents out of the applications on your phone that you want to save, because you can connect your phone to iTunes, and if an application like Pages, for example, saves documents, you can access that through iTunes. So that's what you got to do, and you basically got to do it app by app, and then move it into your
preferred. Do people actually use like that stuff on their phone?
Yes.
Why?
Can't
see a damn thing.
It integrates better than you know, all the other options, but with that being said, Microsoft's offerings today are pretty good. And that's another thing, too.
You're literally on a cell phone. Stop using Microsoft Excel on your cell phone.
Well, I was thinking
a real
more
computer.
I was thinking more tablets, but
sometimes I do need to look at Excel spreadsheets or Word documents.
Yeah, look at them.
Yeah, look at them. I don't need to edit them. I mean, maybe on the fly if I really have to, but when it gets down to it, you should go to a computer if you're really editing.
Yeah. Anyways, but that's the best point here. Dropbox and OneDrive over any other Apple solutions. You do that, save your documents. That's a good start right there.
How much free storage do you get for whatever the hell your shit is called?
Dropbox?
No.
iCloud Drive?
Yeah.
5 gigs.
That's it?
That's
for
it.
For free, though, right?
Yeah, for free.
Okay. Bitch, I get 100 gigs free on OneDrive.
Yep. Yeah.
I'd also like to point out...
iCloud does have better...
that if you have Microsoft Office...
365, you get literally unlimited.
Yeah.
Oh.
And that's the best offering there is. That's $7 a month. So.
Yeah.
That's the best way to do it. And if you have any questions, you can ask either of us. Because I was actually thinking about this week. Just in,
why?
Know,
like a... Why?
He needs to know. We need closure, Shane. What's going on? Are you feeling okay?
Do you need to go to an Apple store to get some counseling?
Maybe in about a year, yeah?
Why?
I'm just thinking of what do I do when this phone becomes too old and too slow, and Apple is still making large phones.
They're going to tell you.
And I don't want one of those.
Well, I mean, the newer ones...
But you're not supposed to think for yourself, Shane. You're supposed to buy into the Apple Hive mind.
Right. It is better. You have to try it. It's better.
No. No one ever said that.
It gets better, Shane.
It's better.
All right. And on that note, we're going to end the questions right now. Thank you, Colton, and everyone else for submitting your questions. If you want to send us audio questions, email them to questions@rsbambi.com. Or you can leave us a voicemail through the telephone. Just call 571-57-BNB, which is 571-572-2632. And we do take text messages there as well.
Woo.
So, on to tech news. So you remember last week we had the discussion about LastPass being... sold to the LogMeIn people who do Hamachi and all those other things.
Yes.
This week on the Security Now podcast, which I listen to weekly, they actually had the founder of LastPass on the show. And he basically gave a reassurance to the entire audience and the internet in general that he is still going to be controlling LastPass. It's just going to be under the umbrella of LogMeIn. And basically, he's going to still have full discretion as to what goes on there and the way the servers work and the way the entire service works as a whole. So that should make people feel a little bit better. But I know there's still some people who are going to be questionable about it. But both
and
the hosts
what did the ever paranoid Steve Gibson have to say about all this?
He thinks it's fine, and he's going to continue using LastPass.
Alright.
And
he's not worried. I don't think I should be.
Exactly. Exactly. And Leo said he's going to keep using the same thing as well because, well, he feels that KeePass, the only other open and vetted option, is not usable enough in terms of sync. So LastPass is still good to use. So I honestly would echo the recommendations of these people and say that not to worry, especially given that the founder is still under control of LastPass there. So
All right.
Just a bit of an update from last week. Also, this week, be sure to update your Flash player if you are not using Google Chrome or Microsoft Edge.
Why?
Because there's a new exploit that basically, well, allows remote code execution by way of Flash Player. This means that a website, a nefarious website, could take control of your computer and do whatever they want with it if you're using this unpatched version of Flash. So if you're using Firefox or some other browser other than Chrome, best update.
Scary.
Yeah, that is the tale of living on the modern internet. There's just so much stuff like this that can happen, and it's out of your control.
Or use a real browser.
Yeah, Google Chrome handles it nicely, and I imagine
or Edge.
Google Chrome browser and Edge will be getting updates shortly. So, and you know what I actually do is I just disable Flash Player altogether and enable it on websites I know and trust.
Yep, Flash Block.
Because it just slows things down, and I think that's the number one thing of browsing on iOS has taught me is you don't need Flash, and it just makes websites work.
No, you just need inordinate amounts of JavaScript, which make websites run so well on mobile.
God, yeah, I got a solution for that later too.
Oh,
pick of the week.
All right.
Yeah. But it's a desktop solution. Mobile will be coming in a few
weeks.
So
it's entirely useless.
Yeah, but like I said, in a few weeks, in a few weeks there will be a solution for mobile. Trust me.
Okay.
But I can't speak to Android or Microsoft users, unfortunately. Only iOS. So. All right. And lastly, Dell has bought a company called EMC for $67 billion.
Why?
Well, Dell, like all other companies in the modern world, need to expand their business from just selling standard hardware. So they want to get into the cloud business, and this is how they're doing it. So this is the largest tech deal ever in terms of money-wise. So
really?
it is going to need to go through some approvals. Mm-hmm. $67 billion, but you know what EMC also owns?
What?
VMware.
Oh,
I thought that VirtualBox is Oracle.
Yeah, that's right. So basically, if you look at the corporate hierarchy now, VMware will be owned by Dell. Which
Why?
I mean. I don't know, but VMware has enough enterprise customers that I imagine they'll be relatively untouched by this, and, I mean...
We can only hope!
Yeah, we can, but where else are you going to go, right? Because VirtualBox doesn't really do what you need, so...
You know, that's right.
And just in comparison, the second largest deal was back in 2001 when HP bought Compaq.
Why would they buy Compaq?
Compaq was back when Compaq sucked.
Okay, that's right.
Yeah, Compaq was utter garbage back then. Though some say HP is bad now, but
HP is not a very good company.
That's
Have
a debate
you
for
seen
later.
A fresh install on an
yeah,
HP computer.
Yeah.
It's pretty disgusting.
Maybe you should do a restore point.
Ugh.
You are literally cancer.
Third largest was Facebook buying WhatsApp. But anyways, so should be interesting to see what Dell does with this. And who knows, maybe they could come up with some kind of integrated solution to rival Microsoft and Apple. So you buy a Dell piece of hardware and you get some kind of Dell cloud service with it.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, not we'll likely, see. Right? Just everyone's no. going to install it. Everyone's going to uninstall it. But yeah, I share your concerns about VMware as well, so don't worry. Be happy.
Thanks, Bobby McFerrin.
Oh, is that who's saying that?
Yes.
Okay. Well. Any other tech stuff you guys would like to talk about before we move on to Skill of the Month?
I got nothing.
Okay, then. Well, in this month's mining competition, Adiron Cronon, Touchpad Pro, is still in the lead with 22.5 million XP to go. Carpi has flatlined. He is at 7.1. And Tyler has made a resurgence in the last week to third place with 3.3 million XP gained. And that is Tyler, who has submitted questions.
Tim has zero experience. Did he die?
No, I talked to him on the weekend. He's alive and well.
Are you sure?
Yeah, remember? I was going to invite him to that game we were playing. But he was going to bed.
Yeah, but did you, like, talk to him? What if it's just Alex?
No, not possible.
What if Alex killed him and is just keeping his body somewhere?
That's dark.
I agree that is dark, and I would hope that they are not capable of doing that. But anyways, yeah, so that's Skill of the Month going forward. Halfway left, and I think Touchpad wanted to get 50 million mining XP this month, so he'll be half there by the time we reach the 15th. So.
What is the 15th?
Well, before the 15th ends. So, all right, what do we got for the achievement this week?
Mandy got 99 agility on October 14th, 2015.
Congratulations. You guys think that's a good skill?
No.
Oh, okay. It makes you run faster.
Not to demean you there, Mandy. I'm just messing with Shane.
I hate training agility.
Yes.
So I commend you in actually getting 99 in a skill I can't train for more than 5 minutes.
Well, if anyone has trouble training 99 agility, they should head to the Heffen agility course in Priftinus. It's
yeah, but don't you need like 90 for that?
Yeah, let me just
it's like
really
80
quick.
Something, I think.
Oh, only 80.
Only 80. My highest skill is 77. So.
Oh, okay. Well,
he's
that's
also not in Priftinus.
That's true.
Right.
And I mean, you don't need to be there, and there's some argument that greatly diminishes, what the skill is. Let's see. Oh, yeah. Well, you could do it, Reed. You're level 84 agility.
I could, technically, yes.
Yeah. Or you could be like Touchpad Pro, who is rank 8 worldwide on RS in agility with 200 mil XP.
How do you get ranked with other people who have the same amount of XP as you?
It's just whoever gets there first.
Oh.
Yeah.
Who got there first? All right.
Well, I believe it's time to move on to the pick of the week, unless you guys have found one while we've been recording here.
No.
All right. Well, I will have a pick of the week in a couple of weeks that will handle the mobile side of things on iOS, but this week's is for the desktop and Chrome, Firefox, and Safari, I think. It's called uBlock Origin. It basically takes disconnect.me, Facebook Disconnect, those kind of things to the next level in that you can granularly control what is being loaded into your browser, whether it be, you know, tons and tons of JavaScript, like you mentioned, annoying videos, third-party scripts, first-party scripts. You can have that kind of level in determining what you block. That is scripts that are on the actual web page versus from other sources. And it actually speeds up the browsing experience quite a bit, even on the desktop. You know, we think desktop browsers are fast, but there's so much junk on web pages we visit that, I mean, you you should really have a look at what's being loaded in and see if you want to go faster. And if you can use uBlock Origin to make that happen. I should also point out that uBlock Origin also doubles as an ad blocker, so that you can block ads with it, and it removes the elements from the page just like AdBlock Plus does. So you kill two birds with one stone there.
But Shane, you don't like AdBlock.
Well,
I'm saying it's unethical.
I think it is unethical to a point, but I say that if a website is not being intrusive with their ads, you should definitely let them display their ads, like RSBNB, for example.
Nice plug.
Well, yeah, I mean, we're totally ad-supported, so, I mean, we do want you to see our ads, because that helps. So if you use uBlock Origin or AdBlock Plus or anything like that, definitely disable it and put RSBNB on the whitelist. I've just sent a link to the extension to both you guys for Chrome, so you can have a look at it if you want. It also has an easy mode, so you can just turn it on and have the most sane options. You don't need to go through each little things, but it's a fun little thing and just makes the web feel a lot faster. So I've actually been looking for something like this for quite some time. It also lets you disable, you know, Twitter, Facebook tracking, all that other kind of annoying stuff that's on the web if you don't like that kind of thing, which is what disconnect.me did. So yeah, I'd highly recommend you take a look at it, Reed. I think it's the next step from disconnect.me for someone like you.
Someone like me?
Yeah, an advanced user who, you know, prefers to have control of what's going on in the system, like what we were discussing the other night about your system tray.
Ugh.
So yeah. Definitely give it a look. It's in the Chrome extension store. Link can be found in the show notes at update.rsvmb.com.
Nice plug.
All right. So what have we been doing this week? Let's start with you, Andrew.
Oh, no. Not me yet.
Okay.
I have to think.
No.
Reed, go ahead then.
Oh, shit. What have I been doing this week? What day is it?
Thursday.
Hell, I don't know.
October 15th, 2015.
School.
Okay. And the quest. If you don't want to go any
and
further.
And the quest.
If you don't want to go any further than that, that is A-okay.
I'll go before Shane.
Okay.
I'll let you go last, Shane.
Go ahead, Dan.
I have also been doing school. I have been trying to train fishing as much as possible because it's my highest skill, and you know.
You want more? What level are you right now?
77.
Oh, that's not too bad. Using the fishing guild, or?
No, I'm barbarian fishing.
Okay, that's good. Very good. Anything else?
Not really. That's about it. That's my life. I'm boring.
All right. Well, Reed, did you think of anything else you'd like to throw in, or are you good?
I'm good.
All right. As for me this week, I hit 101 million farming XP.
Oh, boy.
It's the achievement of the week for me. Well, not an achievement of the week, but, you know, a milestone. But, you know, aside from that, quest and, of course, talking to the lovely listeners of the show and Clan Quest.
Aww.
They are really a great group, you know?
Yes, I am.
Yeah. All right. Well, that about does us in for this episode of RSBNB Update, unless there's anything else before we depart.
I got nothing.
Nope. Andrew, you good?
I am good.
All right. Well, thank you for sharing your time with us, everyone. And we will see you next week for whatever update Jagex chooses to bring to us. Have a good weekend.
Whatever Jagex decides to do.
Yeah, whatever they decide to hoist on to us. Anyways, thank you and see you next week, everyone.
Bye, friends.
Bye.
Bye.